So it's my pleasure to introduce Richard Squary, the founder of Flowing Dragon Swords, to this space. My brother actually introduced us to this form, and we are happy to have him share, Richard, share Flowing Dragon Swords with us. I know there's a lot to talk about, so I won't stand in the way of that happening any further. So welcome to Many Rivers. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you. Well, hello, everybody.
Hello. Hi, Ruby.
Don't let the echo reverberate. I don't usually get as many calls as I got today. I get a lot of calls. They were all regrets, sometimes the weekends or the days are, please come in, and absolutely. Sometimes the days are days that just there's so many other things going on that folks can't do it what you'd like them to, which is show up and give you a little pat on the back and help support that moment, which is right now when I'm searching for the right way to address you and to bring myself to this moment. This was a lovely invitation that I got that came out of the clear blue sky, and I was very pleased to get it. This is a lovely space. I'm ashamed to tell you this is my first time here, so I'm learning a lot already, and I can tell you that it won't be my last. My wife and my family and I live in Penn Grove. And I've been on the West Coast for 5 years now, the last three of which has been more or less full time. The first couple were a lot of traveling back and forth. I want to start because Flowing Dragon Swords is I didn't also realize that I might be able to demonstrate it to you, because it is an experiential art. I was very concerned about coming and just speaking about it. That was very scary to me, to just come and talk at you. But I'm gonna do a little bit of that to start with, and will you forgive me for referring to my copious notes here, and I'll see if I can't bring myself to a more extemporaneous comfort in a moment. So I wanted to start by, because it is experiential, because it is so esoteric, because it is something that I don't know the fullness of yet. It's something that started to come into my life about 20 years ago, when my daughter gave me a copy of a group of interviews between Michael Toms, who of course is a wonderful interviewer. He and his wife have the New Dimensions station up in Bukaya. And he was interviewing Joseph Campbell. And Joseph Campbell did this series of talks over 12 years with Michael Toms before his death. And his statement on those tapes was the burning point of the coalescing of Flowing Dragon Swords and where it came together for me. And that came together out of many, many fortunate, you're looking at the luckiest guy you know, aspects which came together in my life. And the statement that he makes to Michael on the tapes is, by the way, the collection is called The Wisdom of Joseph Campbell. I know that it's still available. It's now on DVD, of course. CD. But the statement that he made was, "Our demons, our dragons, are our own limitations which cut us off from the ubiquity of the spirit. Our demons, our dragons, are our own limitations which cut us off from the ubiquity of the spirit." It went through me like a lightning bolt. I had the great fortune in that moment to have had mentors and teachers from both the Aboriginal community in this country, as well as Far Eastern martial arts instructors and a Zen philosophy teacher that was second to none. So that and you know, my own life experiences all came together in that moment. And a game that I had been taught in Tai Chi, something called Tai Chi Sticking Sword, began to transform into Flowing Dragon Swords. At the time, I was also working with Youth at Risk, which was something that I had started doing in Los Angeles, in some of the toughest spots in Los Angeles. On the west side of Los Angeles and Venice, there's a section called Oakwood, which is now been gentrified pretty well, but at the time it was pretty rugged. And those young people are the ones who taught me how to bring myself forward, along with what I had been taught from Aboriginal community and my martial arts instructors. That it joined and formed an idea which later became a beautiful song and inspirational feeling, which said that this game that you've been playing can join people rather than have them compete with each other. The archetype of the sword can be an instrument of peace and reconciliation, of joining rather than aggression, of beauty and connection rather than a weapon. So I began to play with the young people I was working with. And these are young people that, as a therapeutic counselor, I'd had weeks of group work with, I'd had individual sessions with, that would, in normal therapeutic circles, would take a long time. And quite frankly, this the invitation simply to hold a wooden sword, as you can imagine, when especially with young people anxious to spread their wings and anxious to be part of the larger world and anxious to find the romance and archetype that speaks to their heart, were taken by even taking up a sword, and simply holding it was an event for them. And then to invite them to play a game in which they were already perfect in. To invite them to a game which had no winning and losing, went on forever, and even when I saw them again years afterwards, we would continue the same game. So Flowing Dragon Swords has no winning and losing. It goes on forever once you start. It is all about doing each other the great and magnificent honor of being with each other in a moment, in a dual meditation, which gives each opponent teacher, which is what we call each player, is called an opponent teacher, gives each player an opportunity to be in the high honored place of witness, not therapist, not answer, trying to find answers for someone else, but always giving the opportunity to take a look at themselves while giving that same opportunity to the other. And in a place of non-competition, in a place of joining rather than putting asunder, in a place of quiet beauty, and also sometimes simply great fun, there's a lot of healing that can take place. And I can tell you that firsthand, because the paternal family that I come from has many, many rifts and chasms in it. I'm proud and love these people, but I'm also very aware that that the training that I received in relationship with some of them is the reason that Flowing Dragon Sword burst in such a an extraordinary way. So let me kind of formally read you this. This is the legend which birthed out of what I've just told you, the legend of Flowing Dragon Swords. And I say legend, and I want everyone to hear me that this is this is a lovely dream that happened. The legend of flowing dragon swords. In China, many years ago, there lived an overlord who was both great warrior and holy man. This overlord had the care of many lands and peoples. So he trained his warriors to be the most skillful swordsmen in all the provinces. The people of this land revered and appreciated these swordsmen and bestowed many accolades and tributes upon them. And so it came to pass that after enjoying this status for many years, the swords of the warriors started breaking regularly in battle, and they began to experience something quite foreign to them, defeat. It is said that this overlord, this warrior holy man, retired to a cave in the mountains to ponder and meditate on this. Further, it's said that he spent many years in this cave, but that when he returned, he brought with him this game. And then it's said, for the reason he determined that his warriors were losing the battles and their swords were breaking was that they had started to feed their dragons and not keep their practice. They had started to feed their dragons and not keep their practice. With that sitting in that lovely spot right there, just that thing to kind of play with and ponder in your own mind, I think by way of further introducing myself kind of and the game's origins, I would like to read to you the introduction to this lovely booklet, which I don't have another copy of with me. So I'm gonna even say that because this lady unfortunately couldn't join us tonight. But this is the author of this is the first certified flowing dragon sword instructor on the West Coast. There are some in New England, but she's the first one here. And she felt so inspired in her training that she honored the art with a booklet of poetry called Sword of My Soul, Writings on Flowing Dragon Sword by Reverend Karuna Gerstein. And I'm just going to read you a couple of things after the introduction, and if you'll bear with me. Her introduction here is, Flowing Dragon Swords was founded by Richard Squarey in 1989. Although it was not called Flowing Dragon Sword at the time, the roots of the practice were firmly taking hold. Inspired by many practices and teachers, Morihei Ueshiba from Aikido, Professor Chang Mengsheng from Tai Chi, Joseph Campbell, Friedrich Nietzsche, Jalaluddin Rumi, teachings of the Aboriginal people of North America and the Far East, and teachers embodied in our own youth. Flowing Dragon Swords grew and continues to grow out of the engagement of individuals in the practice. The beauty of the practice is in its growth that is possible. Growth for each individual, each opponent teacher, each pair that plays, each group that shares, and in the extension of the lessons learned into everyday encounters and relationships. While flowing dragon swords can be practiced formally in a class or workshop setting, its application reaches far beyond. Each encounter with another person is an opportunity to practice flowing dragon swords. When I began to learn and practice, the unlimited discoveries and profound openings touched me immediately. My soul was being spoken to in another language, and in turn, it was learning to speak another language. The thoughts and poems offered in the book are my attempt to capture the experience of flowing dragon swords. Some were inspired by actual games and practice experiences. Some were inspired by what I learned as the practice works on me throughout my life. I offer these with much gratitude and hope that as we practice, our connections will strengthen, and then may the world know peace. With blessings, Reverend Karuna Gerstein. And if you'll bear with me, I'll read a couple of these short ones to you. And I'm hoping that in doing this, that the mystery, which is not an unusual or unknown mystery to all of us, but it's one that we all carry, will start to open. And I'll get to something more specific about the game in a moment. But please let your heart work on this. This is called First Game. The sword of my soul reaches to find you as we dance. My heart holds the joy and pain of this brief connection. Death allows life and a new beginning. Every crossing has never been done before, and for a moment we are one, and forever we are one. The next one I wanted to read was called, it's called Blindfolded Play. And in advanced play in our art, there is blindfolded practice, which is an extraordinary and lovely experience. Blindfolded play. It is only darkness before my eyes. I see and hear the whole world. The volume is turned up, but my fear is quiet. Dragon's breath mingles in the darkness. Fire burns without consuming. I step without knowing. Chaos in my soul. Birth and death are alive in us, between us, through us. Around us we breathe and know. The sword is light in my hand. The light is sword in my hand. I can see again. Then I remove the blindfold. This is called Prayer for Peace. Let my heart be open to the mystery of love, given from each hand, from each word, from each step, from each invitation to it. Let me embrace the unknowable fullness of the definition of love, while embracing each and every manifestation. Let me honor love with the recognition of my worthiness to receive it. Let my life be dedicated to revealing love's power, to touch each moment and change each heart. Next to the last here. This is called the Golden Dragon, which in our cosmology and mythology and the game figures prominently, and I'll talk to you more about that if you're curious in a bit. The Golden Dragon. The child waits to be asked to play, remembering, trusting, the discovery and the windows opening. The heart's murmur breathes in space, flying above and below. The scaly touch is no longer feared. Open, says the dragon. Let me see you again. In the wisp of that mist hanging before me, shimmering, iridescent joy unites the worlds. Death and life, the child waits again. And finally, from this lovely booklet of poetry, the last little kind of haiku here, which is called Blessed is the Soul, which is an absolute joy and favorite of mine. Blessed is the soul that knows not of fear, but chances to bow before the open window.
Do that again, please.
Sure, please. Thank you for asking. Blessed is the soul that knows not of fear, but chances to bow before the open window. So I'm going to go from that lovely space to try to do a little bit more conceptual for you so that we can kind of get to how we do this. So the marketing folks have this expression, elevator speech, and it was a great challenge to a lovely group of folks and myself years ago to try and put Flowing Dragon Swords, this esoteric, mysterious, experiential thing, into an elevator speech. But here's the attempt. Flowing Dragon Swords is a game of communication, relationship, and movement, which involves the crossing and continuous touching of wooden swords while engaged in deep dialogue with the other, inviting a greater understanding of the self. Flowing Dragon Swords is a game of communication, relationship, and movement, which involves the crossing and continuous touching of wooden swords while engaged in deep dialogue with the other, inviting a greater understanding of the self.
Yeah. Well done.
Thank you. Thanks.
How long was that elevator?
That was a long elevator. It was like a big, tall building, big building. So now, this is going to be a general, briefly how the game is played. This is just going to be a Flowing Dragon Swords is played when two people face each other and touch wooden swords. Then, as soon as possible, make and maintain eye contact. The sword contact is held with no aggressive movement or pre-planned outcome. The object is for the two people to connect deeply, if inspired, and to co-create stillness or movement or both. When this is realized, a window to another world opens. And suddenly there's no winning or losing, no blame or expectation. There's simply seeing yourself and others in a unique and profound way. And finally, as this little piece here is, before I get to something more demonstrative, the mission of Flowing Dragon Swords, and I'm very proud of this, the mission of Flowing Dragon Swords is to rebuild connection between all peoples through mutually created movement of sword, body, and soul, inviting deep dialogue with the other and a greater understanding of the self. To rebuild connection between all peoples through mutually created movement of sword, body, and soul, inviting deep dialogue with the other and a greater understanding of the self. So could I, before I get specific, could I ask you if you have questions about this, and then just see if out of the inspiration of that, we don't get a clearer definition, because muse and extemporaneous speaking is far preferable to me, going back to this, though it's fine. Yes, please.
I've got all kinds of thoughts going on.
Sure.
The first thing that came to me was, you take the word word, and you put an S in front of it.
Huh. Yeah. I have never, ever done that. That's beautiful.
So, I start looking at the relationship between words and the opposition that they have to provide for each other in order to generate meaning and carry meaning across. So it has to do with providing opposition for each other in order to bring the moment to life, essentially. And that means imbuing it with meaning.
And if I could dovetail into what you're saying, the juxtaposition and the flow of the words together can arrive or head towards a greater beauty than they made by themselves, perhaps? Is that kind of where you were?
Towards something.
That's a lovely, analogy.
I never know where they're heading.
I love that. And you've just said something that's very lovely and important. You never know where they're heading. Every game of Flowing Dragon Swords that's played, every game, is completely unique, because each person that plays, each opponent teacher, we're all called opponent teachers, me too. By the way, founder of Flowing Dragon Swords, not the master. There is no master of Flowing Dragon Swords. There is no master of Flowing Dragon Swords. I'm simply been in the classroom a little bit longer with it. That's really it. We stand on the shoulders of many great masters and teachers, but not even one. Now, having said that, the gorgeousness of unique individual, making the third unique thing. Unique individual, third unique thing. So every game is unique. Every continuing game is unique in every moment. And there are never same games. Is it Rob? Rob and Richard's game has never been seen or played before on the face of the earth. We have no idea what it would be. But Rob and Richard's game would be completely unique and completely separate and different from, could I ask your name, sir?
Michael.
Michael and Richard's game. Michael and Richard's game would be this whole other thing. Each time, unique individual, third unique thing. The third unique thing is perfect in its creation, in its co-creation, because there is no winning and losing. As long as the parameters of the game, and there are only a couple, sword contact, consistent, and reasonable in its listening and giving, and eye contact, open and reaching. So these are the two things that we ask to play, and there's a type of game that we type of play we call stilling play, which is the same as the raptors that still in the sky. They call this stilling when the raptor is hanging in the sky waiting to get the prey. They're completely and totally connected with the prey. And please take the aggressive nature of that beautiful nature, which is going to supply the raptor with further life and is in the circle of life. Please take the other piece out for the moment of that, and just recognize that this energy, which is being stored, is there's very little movement. That there's an omnipresent beauty of the fullness of that energy and its single connection, its extraordinary connection with what it's about to take up. So we say stilling play, and that would be from both sides. It wouldn't be one player is stilling, the other stilling, not stilling. It would be they have to be both to be stilling.
This it sounds like the ideal of conversation.
Hi.
And this is what conversation is wants to be.
Wants to be, which is why without words, it usually succeeds in a lovely way, and there can be there can be an exchange, and certainly when you're learning, the instructor, some instructors talk a lot, but it doesn't have to be, and certainly later on. It is really, we're going to go for the gold here. It's the presence. It's the reaching for the being present with each other without agenda, without attachment to outcome.
This is what conversation wants to be. And you said something about words, that when it's, then it's not. And so that word, that it's...
Help me, because I don't know.
Something that's...
Yes. I was remarking on the piece that there's usually very little spoken word in the game, unless it's an instructor and a student, but that there is an extraordinary amount gained and given. The conversation is full, but the words are not verbalized normally. Please.
A couple of highlights that you learned from the young people you worked with. What surprised you?
Wow, that's a gorgeous, gorgeous, full, lovely question. First, teenagers, if you try to give them baloney, if you're not talking from the straight plate, they're going to tell you. They're going to tell you, and sometimes in not so many words, and sometimes in exact words, they'll tell you exactly. But there's a presence that they demand because they are in their power. The body is changing at an extraordinary pace. They're entering their physical maturity. Their minds are still forming. The brain is still, and as we're finding out now, in very real physical ways, the brain is still hasn't finished, and so they've got a lot going on in there, and they don't have a quiet place because society and the world makes it so voracious. I mean, we how many demands? How many? And I'm not saying that, you know, it was easy for us too. I'm just saying now it's even noisier than it was. I mean, certainly than when I was young. And one of the things that they taught me was to be passionately present with them, so that you cannot release any of the normal stuff that you'd have with other adults. You know, you have to navigate and da 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 and so on, hierarchies and they, you know, especially what we call youth at risk are usually young people who are just really saying a lot of things that we don't want them to say because it doesn't fit societally. You know, they maybe have come from a situation where they got to make things very clear, hate it, love it, be with it, not with it. I mean, they have some very dynamic choices going on. So that was one of the things. And they also taught me that if you, even the toughest, the seemingly toughest, nastiest speaking, roughest physically, I always wanted, I wanted the biggest guys. I wanted the biggest, baddest guys because I knew I could be with them. And I have, you know, I'm a luckily a large white male, you know, and I had some physical ability, but these guys could have folded me up like a paper. And they will grant you the respect if you bring it. If you bring the respect and you meet them there, they're going to be right there with you. And they'll then turn into extremely faithful, extremely honorable people, but you've got to kind of match their fire, you know, a little bit. So I would say those are a couple of the and then the valveless emotions. You know, we all start to learn how to kind of adjust with those controls, you know, when we get a little older, and they just got it wide open. It's just wide open. The valves aren't turned down, and they're just, and they can go here or they can go here, and go hard or soft, very quickly. But if you show up for me, I've never been disappointed in a younger person teaching them or being taught by them. Never has happened. And some tight circumstances, but never. Let me move into this other piece. I want to say this one last thing before I give you kind of the step by step idea. I wasn't aware that we would be allowed to demonstrate or experience. I was told it was a very small place, and not being here, and of course not inquiring like I should have. I just took the first thing I heard from someone else who had spoken here. It wasn't you guys. You guys didn't say you can't. But I'd like to get to a little bit of that. So let me just read you this other piece. This is another affirmation of the idea and the practice, the formation of this. And again, this is from Campbell, and it says, or he says, this was in a talk he gave in Canada. A mythological order is a system of images. A mythological order is a system of images that renders to consciousness a sense of meaning in existence. And then he adds parenthetically, which, my dear friends, has no meaning. It simply is. But the mind goes asking for meanings. It can't play unless it knows or makes up some system of rules. And mythologies present games to play. How to make believe you're doing thus and so, so that ultimately you experience through the game that positive thing, which is the experience of being in being. This is the first function of a mythology, which is to evoke in the individual a sense of affirmative awe. I love that, affirmative awe, before the monstrous mystery that is existence. And then he adds, with gratitude. I heard that just at the right time down the road in the practice, which was, I'd been doing it on and off with, I also did this, I had a stint of 10 years where I was an on and again, off again working stuntman in Los Angeles. That was my dream when I was a young man, to go out to Los Angeles. That's how I wound up in L.A. And I was using it with actors to train them for sword fighting or fist fighting or what have you, because it connected them. They loved it because of the connection. They used to do their lines while playing. Sometimes it was a little bit different game then, but it still had the roots of this. And one of the things that would happen is that actors, of course, the egos can be. So one of the things that would happen is that they would get this winning and losing thing going, and they're the ones who kind of then affirmed that. I said, no, it's not like that, guys. It's, and I'm not just using other terms for it. I'm not just trying to be cute and use other terms for winning and losing. There's no winning and losing. There's simply, in our game, life, the two sorts connecting. These are the basic wooden bokens. It's a Japanese martial arts practice weapon that we start with and play with. The swords touch and they don't come apart. Swords touch and they don't come apart. There's no hacking, stabbing, slashing, no aggressive movement of any kind. They touch and they don't come apart. So there's life and death. This is life, and actually that's death too. Because all we have in our game is the integrity of connection and the agreement that simply that you and I say we're going to be connected. And if we weren't in that moment, then it isn't pejorative. It isn't you came off or I came off or you made a mistake or I made a mistake. It is acknowledgement. Acknowledgement. There was a disconnect. Let's be with that. All action stops. We bow and acknowledge the moment of separation and simply raise our swords, bow, and join again and continue the game. So the game goes on forever. If you'll bear with me now, how are we doing on time?
8:15.
Okay. La 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 la. I'm going to do a very, very brief intro piece, and I'm going to just invite you, if you can, to I have an abbreviated version of what I set up before every class or every demonstration wherever we are, and it's made up of pictures of my family, and I'll pick one up here, which has a whole crew in it. This is my whole crew. This is my lovely wife, Yvonne, who you might, as you looked around, you might see someone look just like her in here. That's her. And then that's our daughter, Tamara, right here, this lovely lady here. And this fellow, who's actually standing on a lower step than I am, who's 2 or 3 inches taller than I am, is my son-in-law, Carlos, who is the guy I want to be when I grow up. And then this is Alex and Sierra, who now look me in the eye. 5'11", she's 5'11", he's 6 feet at least. And in the last week, he might actually be as tall as I am. He's something. So this is the crew. And the reason that they're out, and the reason that all of these things come out, is that both factions of my very fortunate training all agreed on one thing, that if you were to speak in this way, you had to say where you got your center from, where you got your sanction from, who you were, clearly, and then really your strength, where you get your love from. So this is, these pictures have been with me, as you can see. The grandkids are weensy here, and they're actually even weensier here. These little pod heads right there. So they've been around for a while, and they come out every time the game is presented. Then I have a lovely blanket here, which is the blanket that I used to lay in the fields in Canada and pick sweet grass near my my family's paternal homes up in Canada, in New Brunswick, and that was a great joy. The other piece here is an abalone shell that was given to me by this lovely friend of mine years ago, who allows me to use it as a smudging bowl. I have a little bit of white sage in it. I'm going to prepare it and burn it, and I'm going to honor my old fan that's been with me a long time, female pheasant wing. This is a male great horned owl, and this has only come in the last few years, and it was with me for a long time before I felt that I could wield it. It's quite a bit of lovely medicine. A drawing done by one of my students of a mandala of dragons and colors. This is just a joy. A little dragon feature here that speaks of one of the many, many dragon myths. Every culture on the planet, has a dragon, winged serpent, or serpent mythology in its history. Every culture. Also an edged weapon or sword mythos in there somewhere. The frog actually was given as a trickster so that I don't take myself too seriously. Every time if I get out of line, it starts to ribbit at me. So that's a piece. So I'm going to prepare this sage in the way I was taught, which is to moisten my palm, not spit in it. That's a different energy, but moisten it and crush the beautiful white sage. I find this ritual not only soothing, but does what any good ritual should do, which is say that this moment is different from the moment that came before. This is, we're just going to have a different, this is going to be a different moment. And we're going to all agree, because there's a sense memory that we can all smell, feel, see in this little bit of ritual, which does the thing that all good rituals do. They take us out of this moment of too much mind, perhaps, and into another possibility. Hi. Science confirms old understandings. I was taught about how to prepare sage before I was aware of genetic DNA in the saliva and some of, but my teacher, the old lovely old man, old Navajo Hopi man Mix, said when you do, you moisten the sage for two reasons. He said, so it will stick together and burn slowly, but so that you can put yourself in the smoke. And of course, now the realization of that, there are tiny bits of DNA, of my DNA, in that, joining with that sage, and then actually going into the smoke. So I just love when that turns out that way. Forgive me, the knees aren't what they used to be.
Not that our knees are what they used to be.
It's good to be in good company. I'm just going to wave a little bit of this around, if you don't mind. It's just I got it going very little.
for that, a bit of indulgence. And put these guys just to the side where they're used to going. They're used to going and helping me and support that moment. So now, having done that, I can actually tell you how we do this. You can hold the bokken below the suba, anywhere below the suba, with one hand or two, your choice. There's no special grip in our particular art. There are very very specifics when you're practicing martially. This is a different thing. We're going to alchemize this wooden weapon right now into an instrument of connection. And I often love to point out that these things are held and respected and carried as swords, and it's a piece of wood. It's a piece of wood. It's shaped like a katana. We offer an intention to it, or can bring something to it, so that automatically that piece of wood that's got some black paint on it, a little plastic and rubber thing around, automatically it carries this other energy. And it's that way because we say so, because we bring that to it. So all we need to do is change that to instrument of connection. And now we have a completely different, more extraordinary piece of wood. But it is in fact now a sword, and it is the sword of connection. So, facing each other, we would bow, offer each other our sword, and what we want to do is touch gently in a single still place when we meet. Because of course, if we come up to one another, and where were we when we were in between the two hits, right? There's already been disconnection. Disconnection is not something to be feared, and it's not something to be scared of, but it's something that with some care we can simply be with that until we can't be with it, until death happens, and death will happen. What do the Upanishads say? The narrow edge of a razor. It's not whether you're going to fall off one side or the other. It's how you get back up on it and make your way forward. It's not whether or not you're going to disconnect and die. It's how we acknowledge it, bow to it, raise our sword, and continue the game that counts. That's the thing that counts. So the fact that it goes on forever is in fact its strength. We play phrases. We play a minute or two and simply say, well, we're going to play a minute or two and that'll be it. And because we have a few folks, and maybe not everyone wants to play, it's not a requirement. But I will go around sunwise in the way that I was taught and ask you, and you're welcome to pass, completely fine. I will invite you to give it a whirl though, because the last thing I'm here to do, of course, is to embarrass or stick anyone out. That wouldn't be. I wouldn't last very long as an instructor of a game supposedly about peace and connection. And I wouldn't also be up here trying to search for the right the right expression to entreat you to more. So I'm gonna stop talking, believe it or not. I'm gonna stop talking. I'll come over and simply ask folks and see if you want to give it a try. Okay, ask if you care to give this a whirl. What was your name?
Rhonda.
Rhonda. Come on up, Rhonda, would you? Come on up. Now, I haven't said a lot about this, and we don't know really what's going to happen, but we know that we bow, we know that we reach out and touch swords, and we know that from that place, as we try and keep our swords together and try and maintain eye contact, that whatever comes is going to be flowing dragon swords. Okay? So Rhonda and Richard's game is about to be experienced for the first time ever. And we'll see what happens. Are you left-handed?
I am.
Wonderful. No worries. Here. No worries. We acknowledge it. We embrace it.
we want it. We want to say, yes to death. It's a good day to die. We say the day. We say the same thing that the Sioux warriors riding into the hail of Custer's bullets. It's a good day to die. It's a good day to die. And we simply bow again. And yes, has begun. Rebecca, would you give us 1 minute, please? Students here, and I want, we've just been talking about filling by. This is the, let me see. All right. Thank you so much.
Hi.
Wonderful. So, you see, that, I mean, we can be in deep, wonderful communication and connection without anything. Or we can be up on this counter, around the bookshelves, with the sword. It doesn't matter, but it matters what comes out of that co-creation, as long as it is sincere. Right, yes.
Real, R-E-A-L. As long as it's real.
Yes, as long as it's real.
Yeah.
My friend, could I ask you and treat me to a bit? And I'll mention too, by way of because it may turn out that my friend and I stay in a similar place. But I want you to know too that you have as much, and I didn't say this, so I bow to Rhonda and say that I failed in mentioning this earlier. If it wound up being a choice. And if I don't think that it was, because it was quite genuine and lovely. You have as much power in this as the guy who's been playing for 19 years. And the reason that you do is, if you go someplace, I have to go. I need you to sustain life in the game. Likewise, though, if I initiate movement, you would have to
going along with that too. Now, it isn't a come along and go with. It is a leading and a following, paradoxically, simultaneously, all the time. So that possibility exists. I don't say that that's what you must do. I simply say it's a possibility. My friend.
Yes, please. Oh, no, absolutely. Yes, no. Absolute. We'll go here. Now, the other piece here is, believe it or not, I have played in tinier spots than this. And I don't know how it works, but the connection keeps us not only safe, but it keeps all the things around us safe. We have more in the connection as far as awareness than if we're trying to look around. If you try to look around or look away from the sword, you will have less awareness of everything around you. And you'll experience that if you get an opportunity to play. But it's a counterintuitive fact, I have to tell you, my friend. What do you say? A self-pull also. Huh? Yes.
Is this okay?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, please, you can, sure. And again, I think I probably didn't mention that to Rhonda. You know, kind of to start and then... And our friend is breath, of course. Because we mean each other no harm, proximity means nothing. The proximity of the sword to the body, to the face, means nothing. You're not going to hit me, and I'm not going to hit you. No worries. And I didn't explain that either. That was what's called a suba bump. And a suba bump is named after this part of the sword. Suba, T-S-U-B-A, the T is silent. It's the hand guard, but it also goes for everything else. If you're, forgive me, may I? If you're going and you touch the other person and there's a little jiggle in the sword, or you've come down and you've run into that retaining ring, that's still the sword. You are still the sword. You see, you and the sword are one, always. This is an extension of your arm. This is an extension of what we call in Aikido the Kokyu. So the sword and the arm is always one. So later, in more advanced play, it doesn't matter too where you grab the sword. It doesn't matter where you grab the sword. And as long as your hand is attached to it, it can ride up on the hand, it can ride over, as long as it doesn't bite. So you'll forgive me, these are things that are occurring. There's so much, and I'm forgive me here. You can see how much you can be aware of. You know, the counter's right here. You know, the table's here. You know, this gentleman's right here. All that, and here we are. Yes, no worries. And also, since we're trying to, both trying, you don't have to do all the work. You know? I know.
And so now that we've started, however, the next time I see you, we get to continue the same game, right? Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to continue the back row because these are students or relatives and they don't really count. So, Michael, what do you say? Good world. We should try with that. No, we're Suba. I was a Suba bum. And we just declare that, and that lets us both know that we can continue, that it wasn't a disconnect. We do acknowledge that. We acknowledge that out loud so that Suba bum. And it usually is followed by no worries. Good. That's good. We can get a little too hung up out here. You know, that's all available and it's all possible. But remember, this is where it comes from. The swords are an excuse. They're an excuse. They're a safety net. They're a lovely way to connect physically that's safe and wonderful. And as well as their archetype is working on us all the time, whether we know it or not. But this is the game. This. Yes. Yes. No worries. Good for you. Yes. Wonderful. Well done. That's good. Yes. When you're aware of it, that's lovely. Excellent. Yes. Thank you, Rebecca. My friend. Would you allow me the pleasure of continuing this another time?
I think it's all the same dance. I think it goes on no matter who.
Yeah. Yeah. As you, and I'm gonna, you know, if I could, I'm just gonna say in joining with what you just said, it is absolutely the uniqueness of the individual is held above all things in our practice in our game. It is. However, the uniqueness of the individual is the recognition that we are, in fact, all. We are, in fact, all.
Well, again, it's like the uniqueness of two different letters in the same word, which
form the word, which forms the language, which forms the joining of communication.
In the dictionary, in the library.
You and I have to talk. Wonderful.
I think so.
I love this. Thank you. I love this route that you've exposed me to.
This is my work.
Hi. Well, it's.
And you're bringing some thing pieces of my work to me right now. Yes.
Thank you. That's kind. Yes. I kind of heard it. Please. If there was anything that ever made me appreciate the fact in physics of infinite space right where we are. It stays because we don't need a lot of room. Love it. And breath is our friend. Give it to yourself. Yes, that's the gift. Yes. Yes, I know it works. Sir, would you care to give us a list?
Can I ask your name?
Carl.
Carl. I'm sorry. It was in the announcements, and I have a spot with names that's not my best yet. Suba, no worries. That, my hand. Same as, no worries. No worries. Thank you. Yes. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Carl.
Thank you so
much. Thank you. Carl, would you care to do
it?
Very good. No worries.
Thank you.
Jim, what do you say? Will you come off from behind that counter? I want to see if you actually have legs.
Yes.
Good. You do. We acknowledge it, we embrace it, we love it, we say it's a good day to die. We raise our swords and continue on. Breath is our friend. Yes. No worries. Bring whatever you like. Bring whatever you like. Yes. nice. I'm glad you get a chance to try. Very nice. I'm going to. It's my custom to check in again, and if it's still no, then no worries. Very good. No worries. So first, I want to acknowledge that there's a certain bravery and beauty in the room when we partake of something that we haven't seen before, and give ourselves over to trust and connection. And I just want to acknowledge Rhonda for stepping up here with very little information about what the practical situation was going to be, but you know, this is a great strength and great gift, and I honor you for it. So, let me check in, if I may, and then I want to find out if. And actually, while I'm putting these over here, if there's anybody that has a comment or a question about the play, about playing, can you would you honor me with verbalizing it? What do you think?
How long is there a standard duration?
Oh, lovely. Thank you. That's a wonderful question. Normally, in a class, for instance, we normally play anywhere from 2 to 5 minute games, depending on the amount of people, depending on what we need to get through in the evening, if in fact that's what we're going to get through. The opening explanation, as you saw today, and you would see other times, is always unique to the situation. It's always unique to the crowd, the situation, and so on. And it's purposely so. I tried for a long time to get an ABC, a 1, 2, 3, and it has nothing to do, finally, with the presentation of our game. If we try to package it and say, well, you know, we try to cover the three things: a little bit of the history, certainly how to play, and the rules, and a ritual that is also specific to the instructor, because my ritual isn't Karuna's ritual. My introduction isn't. It needs to be something that calls the instructor to their place of opening to the moment. So. As each instructor comes along, there's a divide. They devise along with us a something that's going to open for them, and allow them to invite people into that space. Sometimes it's poetry. Sometimes it's whatever it is. Yes, please.
First of all, honoring is your presence, which to me, from first-hand experience of doing this with you and also observing you doing it with other people, comes from a place of strength and assuredness. Also comes from a place of deep humility and great affirmation and honoring of the person that you are with, and always lifting the person that you're with. Always encourage, always bring them forward, and that's that. If we could just take that quality and expand it into every activity in our life, what a beautiful world this would be.
Yeah, if I could, and if I could live that and be that in each moment, it's something that I reach for. My fallibility. Has some pain for your beautiful words, and my reaching for it has thanks and affirmation. Thank you.
That was the first. The second was instantly. Once the sword was forgotten. And the eye connection was prominent, and the connection between us was prominent. This is my experience.
Yes, please.
Then all that was felt was love.
All that was felt was love.
It was felt was love.
And this is the. I don't need to say anything.
Yeah, I do. Something about just the intimacy. What came to me was a ritual dance of creation. That everything is involved in a similar type of a dance, and in creation everything is really, really intimate with everything else. And so this is bringing forward the natural intimacy of what's going on. And because the stories that we run normally break, cut us off from natural intimacy. Mm. So this is a bringing back to what's here anyway. We're returning to what's here anyway.
And that's one of the main reasons why the mission statement starts with to rebuild connections between all peoples. Because my belief is, and our belief is, that it is, in fact, something that we're born with and then trained away from, of course.
Absolutely.
And the beauty of and the truth of that place is the healing place for all of us. You know, and there are many. This is one practice. There's many, many. You know, I strongly advise.
I disagree. I think this is the one.
I strongly advise everybody to have their own individual practice, because I think individual practices are very important. But you know, for a dual practice, this is not bad. This is not bad, and it's been in some pretty tough places, and some pretty under some pretty heavy duty eyes. And I have to tell you, it's feeling like it's arriving. It's known in Canada. It's known in there's one of my at the Hopi Reservation in Arizona, at the high school, junior high. There's a club that meets every week and plays Flowing Dragon Swords. And this was at a school where there's a lot of difficulty, and they do wonderful work. A couple of the of therapist students of mine down there are playing as adult students. They're not playing as instructors. They're not certified, but they're there. And I've been there, and my other certified teacher has been there. So there's this wonderful thing that happens every Monday afternoon after school. And some of these kids have to ride 2 hours on a bus. So for them to stay 2 hours afterwards, and then they don't get home until 5 or 6 o'clock at night, you know, and what have you, it's a big deal. That's one of the highest honors I could be paid, is to have that honor there, you know. Yes, sir.
Have you tried this with very young children, like 4 years old?
I have. It's a different game. I have played, and I do play. As a matter of fact, the Ocean Song Festival is one of the places that we play. We usually have a presence there, and we play with lots of young people there, very young children there. And it's a little bit more of appropriate modeling and being with them, because they all have an attachment. You know, you give any child a sword, or rather a stick, and it turns into, I mean, if it's long enough, it's a sword. If it's short, it's a gun, right? Unfortunately. But the sword can carry a cultural respect. And we also, by the way, these are the basic swords that we play with. In advanced play, we play with wooden swords from around the world. We play with 5-foot two-handed Clegane Mors, to broadswords, to Zhen, Chinese Zhen. We play with rapier-like wooden, all of them wooden. Wood has a living fiber. It carries a different energy than metal, and it can be imbued more easily with what we're after. Metal has one of the five elements that has its own energy, and it's already been that energy has already been shown. We know what metal swords can do and have done. So this is a, this is this other thing. I don't want to keep you past whatever time. Where are we now?
8:59.
Let me allow a space because there are some closing announcements.
Just some brief.
No worries. And then I would be overjoyed to number one, direct you to the website, which it does have a calendar on it. It lists our the classes. Locally, the classes are in Cotati. If you care to, the first one is always free. Generally, if you have young people that are interested, the youngest people are 14, but I will take them as young as 11 with an interview. Okay, we have to have a kind of a lengthy talk and see where they are. I play with people in hospice beds and in wheelchairs. I've played with people who can't hold the sword. We have a wheelchair sword holder or a bed rail sword holder. All they need to do is touch it. That's all that needs to happen. So there's no one that can't play. There's no one that can't play. There's no one that can't... succeed's not the right word. That can't be... You can't be present with. If you will open enough, you can be present with anyone. As I say this... I understand, too, it's been brought to my attention very early on that it means, too, that I have to also play then with Osama bin Laden and George Bush. I understand the weight of my words, and I tell you honestly that I'm still reaching for an understanding that big, but I'm reaching for it. And I hope that someday that all children's backpacks to school will have a place for a bouquet, and then they will never be misused, and that they will be used in all the wonderful ways that Flowing Dragon Sword can bring them into a new understanding. There's so many other things to talk to you about. It's long and deep. Yes.
Yes. Can I add?
Please.
The local classes in Cotati are Monday and Wednesday evenings, 6:30 to 8.
Thank you.
And if it's your first time, you contact Richard and come by 6, and he'll give you a private
introduction.
Private introduction. Available for carpooling from here.
Thank you, Sarah. Thanks for the reminder and thank you for the info.
And my son works with him privately once a week, and it's amazing the work
that can happen. Thank you. So I'm going to turn it back over to Rob and Jim, and I'm going to thank them again for this lovely venue and this wonderful space. And And now that I know where you are, I promise to be in here much more often. I do come to Sebastopol, and I've been trying to get a class here. The other thing is that the classes are not expensive, and we the place that we've worked in is the fellowship hall at the Church for the Oaks in Cotati. They have a wonderful deal with us, which I wasn't able to find anyplace else. Because we don't charge a lot for the classes, we can't really pay for a space. I do travel a lot with this, but it is not a full paying thing. So the thing that I'm saying is that if there's any space that you know in Sebastopol that might allow us to work out something with integrity, where they would get a percentage of what we bring in that evening, no matter what it is, that's the catch. Because sometimes it's two people, sometimes it's 20, sometimes it's 30. You know, it's like it's just that way. Please forgive me for going over. Thank you very much, Rob and Jim. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. On behalf of Many Rivers, I want to thank you. That was really wonderful, and we very much appreciate bringing Flowing Dragon Swords and your energy to the space.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.